This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, whatever happened to black history? Tonight's guest, historian William Katz. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, Night Call's national phone number. Area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. This coming Monday, August 26th, at an event will take place that's unprecedented in American publishing history. The New York Times and Arno Press will publish on that date a 45-volume reprint series called The American Negro, His History and Literature. These books, of and by black Americans, have long been out of print and unavailable to the general public. Our guest tonight is the general editor of this ambitious project, William Loren Katz. He says the American black past has been suppressed, neglected, or distorted by a sort of unconscious racism, and that many of the distortions of history used to justify discrimination are deeply embedded in our folklore. For example, that the popular image of Sambo laboring contentedly under a benevolent master is still with us today. Just what effect does this have on our kids? Black kids in search of a past they don't know exists. White kids who don't know enough about where their black fellows came from to judge them intelligently. What is its effect on us so-called grown-ups? We, too, were all brought up in an educational system that ignored black history. Mr. Katz is standing by in New York to answer your questions and share your comments and conversation about whatever happened to black history. You may speak to him direct at our national number, area code 212-749-3311. And, of course, you're welcome to call us collect. That's national calls on area code 212-749-3311. In the New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. That's local calls only on 866-5010. Mr. Katz, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
And thank you so much for being with us. First, I'd like to congratulate you on what seems to us to be one of the most sensational and most delightful and most welcome series in the 45-book series that's about to be published by your company in association with the New York Times, and we think it's a very, very fine thing. First, I'd like to find out, is there any reason for black history to be limited or restricted to only 45 volumes?
No, on the contrary, we're contemplating going ahead with many more volumes based on the response that we're getting to the 45.
What brought about this particular project?
Well, as you had said in your opening remarks, this black history has long been ignored, neglected, even whitewashed, and this is an effort to present to the public, to the libraries, and to the schools the volumes that fill in the missing pages in American history.
Did you have a direct contribution to this, or were you brought in after, or is this one of your projects from initially, or what?
No, I was brought in initially based on my book, Eyewitness, the Negro in American History, in which I used many of these source documents. I was brought in to select and have a committee chosen to help me select which books would fill in this entire past, which books that have been out of print for 100, some of them 50 years, should be used.
Many blacks, and I don't want to say militant blacks, because I've heard it also, if I may use the term, and most apologetically, conservative blacks, but many blacks have stated that they feel that there has been an actual plot behind the suppression of black history. Is this true, or has it just been an accident of our particular culture?
Well, I wouldn't say it's an accident of our particular culture. I think it's a product of our particular culture. This, take the case of Crispus Attucks, the black man who lost his life at the Boston Massacre. There was an attempt shortly after by patriotic historians to redwash him, that is, to turn him into a Nantucket Indian. And this is, I don't know if this is part of a conspiracy, but it's certainly a part of American history and folklore that the black man should be left out, neglected, or his role distorted.
Well, why would this be, sir?
Well, I think it varies. I think, for example, during slavery, the effort was made to have the Negro seem contented so that the white person would feel at ease with his conscience. And I think during Reconstruction after the Civil War, when many Negroes participated in governments and did a creditable job, this had to be altered considerably if the Negro was to be kept in as a second-class citizen in the South. And so Reconstruction history was rewritten to conform to this idea.
In view of the fact that the year of 1968 seems to be the era of the discovery, or perhaps the rediscovery of black people in America, how do you feel that the reception is going to be by black people to this sudden interest on the parts of white to kind of correct history or try to correct the position that that black people have been neglected and have been overlooked? Do you expect reduce the question. Do you expect that black people will give a positive and overwhelming response to this new concern on the black of white, on the part of whites to discover them?
Well, I don't know if they'll give a response on to the part whites are playing it. I think that, you know, they will certainly welcome the first real effort made to uncover their past, regardless of who does it. And I think it's a matter of being thankful to anybody. I think it's a matter of for once having the full story of America told, and Negro's part in it carefully delineated.
Have you had a chance to talk with any black people in reference to this particular series?
Yes, I have been in contact with a number of people. The advisory board, by the way, that helped select the titles is composed of seven scholars, six of whom are black. And I've spoken to other interested individuals, have called up or written letters, and there's quite a positive response to this on the part of black people, and I would say also on the part of white people.
Is it more so on the parts of whites or more so on the parts of black?
Well, it's all right. I don't know how one evaluates letters and phone calls. I guess it's run rather even.
Why the title? It's called The American Negro, His History and Literature, when it seems that black is becoming a most acceptable term.
Well, that is a good question, and that is in a state of flux at this point. I guess if we were naming it in another year, we might change it. Who knows? The word Afro-American may be the acceptable word and phrase then. At the time, we were considering that this was the title we selected.
Why did you, sir, become personally involved in black history?
Well, that's sort of a long story going back to my early days as a high school student during World War II and my father's jazz collection and also his collection of books on the Negro and American history. And I ended up writing a 200-page high school thesis on the Negro and American jazz. And from there, I went on to researched this more thoroughly in 1952 when I started teaching high school American history and found that the texts used either omitted or distorted the Negro's role. And I began using these materials first from my father's extensive library and then from other sources in class and found the response of the students.
Did it have a personal effect on you when you began to read about the contributions of black people to American history?
Yes, it definitely did. I've always been interested in American history, and finding this very, very much neglected and distorted phase of American history was very exciting to me, and I found that it was exciting to my students, and the whole experience was very rewarding for that reason.
This is not necessarily a commercial program, but just reading over the full-page ad that was published in the New York Times, we see that 10 sets are $180 each, and 25 sets are $160 each, and 50 sets are $140 each. Is that a popular price for this series?
Well, it is I think a fairly good price for reprint books, as far as I can determine. It's quite a good price. And these books are not to be sold to the general public, but are for sale to libraries and to schools. And I really haven't been involved very much in the financial aspects of the project, but that information I can't offer.
Would you tell us something about the people who are involved on the advisory board?
Oh, yes. first of all, we have on the advisory board Gene Blackwell Hudson, curator of the Schomburg Collection in in New York, which is the largest Negro collection of materials in the world. And we have Dorothy Porter of the Negro collection at Howard University, and Sarah Dunlop Jackson of the National Archives, expert in Negro military history, and Doxie A. Wilkerson of Yeshiva University, who is an expert on Negro education and sociological problems. James M. McPherson, professor of history at Princeton University, an expert in Negro during the 19th century. And Ernest Kaiser of the Schomburg Collection, one of the noted bibliographers in this field. So it's quite an all-star group, and it's been a delight working with these people. I had worked with all of them previously when I was writing my book, Eyewitness.
We have calls standing by from Kokomo, Indiana, and from Atlanta, Georgia, as well as New York City. And just before we go to our night call listeners, Mr. Katz, I'd like to ask you just one final question in this segment. For a person first being introduced to black history, is there any one singular or one important aspect that kind of hits a person immediately?
Yes, I would think, if I was thinking in terms of periods, the period of Reconstruction after the Civil War, it is probably the most distorted and confused, and the part in which the Negro has played has been most difficult to straighten out. And I think anybody reading about this period would find it fascinating. It's a good, you know, jumping off place. As I guess anyone studying American history would start with colonial times. Anyone starting on the Negro in American history might want to start with Reconstruction.
Mr. Katz, we'll take our first call tonight from Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. Don Adams is hearing night call of WAOK. Good evening, Mr. Adams.
Hello.
Your question, sir.
Mr. Katz?
Yes.
I would like to ask you, as the role of a black man or a young man that's currently in college, what could I do to, you know, become more aware? And I must admit I was had a little apathy about myself in the past, but in the last 2 years I've had a chance to become exposed around Chicago, you know, and yeah. I have learned things, accomplishments by black people, and I was wondering how, what could I do to better my knowledge?
Well, all you'd have to do is figure out which field or area that you wish to start, culture, sports, which period of history. There are so many books out now that could be used. And I think that's all you'd have to discern is which of the areas you wish to go into.
When could you give me a reference to certain books?
Sure. The definitive work in the field is John Hope Franklin's From Slavery to Freedom. And that covers the whole field from A to Z, starting in Africa and going all the way up to the present day. And a new edition of this volume has just come off the presses. It's an excellent book.
I would like to make one other statement. For a long time, they had said that we didn't have, you know, a culture or whatnot. And by coming from the South and attending school, I feel that if the teachers in certain school would put a little effort behind and try to catch the kid at an early level and try to expose then and there, I think this is where our weak spot is. The people that has the control of the young blacks seem to neglect this, not necessarily the whites, you know, by going to an all-black school, coming up. I can relate this to the fact that the teachers just didn't place an emphasis on this.
Yes, well, this is being done more and more. Now, I know the state of North Carolina is going into this more heavily, and the state of New York and other states are beginning to do this. Congress is now considering a bill for a presidential commission on Negro history and the preservation of materials. So the outlook for this is very good at this point.
Okay, then this is really what I want to ask us to how to better myself.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311, and our guest tonight is Mr. William Katz, who is the general editor of a brand new series called The American Negro, His History and Literature. We'll return to Mr. Katz and for more calls from Kokomo, Indiana, New York City, and elsewhere right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest William Katz after station identification. America is growing smaller. Speed of communication, speed of travel, and the worldwide revolution in human rights. These things bind us together into a common destiny. One man's problem is every man's problem. More and more we realize the only real problem is the human problem. People who need jobs, better education, better places to live, better medical care, and better hope for the future. A chance to become part of the American dream of freedom and opportunity. But for the American dream to succeed, each of us must be responsive to the needs of others. To give a damn about our brother or our sister, black or white. You'll find some answers to how you can help give a damn, how you can offer your help, in a new booklet called Whose Crisis? Yours. You can get a copy without charge by writing to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, New York. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to William Katz about whatever happened to black history. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to Night Call with calls standing by in Kokomo, Indiana, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and in New York City. And our guest, of course, Mr. William Katz, the general editor of the American Negro and His History and Literature. Mr. Katz, do you feel that with the new accent on black history that this is going to be the cause for the change of attitudes on the part of whites?
Yes, I do. I think it will take some time. I don't think we should have any illusions that changes will be forthcoming as soon as courses on Negro history are given or material on the Negro is incorporated into the ongoing courses in American history. But I think in time, this material will have an impact on both black and white youngsters, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I think, first of all, we will have a full picture of our country's history, not one that has been showing neglect or distortion, but one that tells a complete picture of what happened and who did it and why.
Why all of a sudden in America have we decided to investigate the role of the contribution of the Negroes to our culture and to our history?
Well, I can only answer that, I think, partially. My guess is that this has been an outgrowth of the civil rights revolution in this country. That the when the millions of Negroes went into action to demand their full citizenship and equality, I think it became more and more clear to everybody, and particularly to black people, that they had a history worth mentioning and that they had a past worth resurrecting. And, you know, it did not just all begin with the Supreme Court decision of 1954. Outlawing school segregation. And as we've reached into this past, we found more and more instances that were very, very similar to things that we found taking place in the last decade.
Mr. Dressler is hearing Night Call over WIOU, and he's hearing it in Kokomo, Indiana. Mr. Dressler, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Shields.
How are you?
Good evening, Mr. Katz.
Good evening.
I'm calling. I have in my possession right now a book called Men of Mark.
Yes.
Which is was published in 1887 by Reverend William Simmons.
Yes.
I'm just wondering how you would compare this book, which was printed then, which was during an era of revitalization of interest in the Negro, and your series of today.
Well, it just so happens that is one of the books we've republished. And I was looking at it just today and reading some of the sketches of the individuals in it. We felt it was one of the basic documents, and that's why we included it in our series. It has, as you may have noted, many, I don't know how many, hundreds of sketches of individuals and some very excellent pictures, and we felt it would be a very useful resource for libraries and for schools.
I'm curious to know about several things. One is your publications, the cost is going to be quite high. How would the average man be able to have copies of this?
Well, that is a problem because the collection is not designed for sale to the general public. It is a library and school-directed series. Some of the volumes, Not Men of Mark, certainly, which is a gigantic book, but some of the volumes are reasonably priced because they are very small. The Marcus Garvey volume, I believe, is $350. Another one on Negroed work in New York City, which is $450. Many of them, of course, are very highly priced.
Mr. Katz, will the individual volumes be available to the public?
Yes, the volumes are available both as a set and individually, and they can be purchased by individuals as well as by institutions.
But was there any reason, I'm just curious, in terms of the fact that the library has been set up, as you said, designed to go into libraries, why the general public was not thought of? I'm thinking in terms of the full-page ad that it says that the complete collection of 45 titles can be purchased for $485. Is there any reason why the general public was precluded from this?
I can't answer that fully, except to say that at this juncture, the choice was made to first get these volumes into libraries and get them in with the superb bindings and excellent reproduction that they are. There may be, depending on demand, additions for the public. This can be considered. It certainly is not out of the picture.
Mr. Shields, I had another question I wanted to ask.
Go right ahead, sir.
In Men of Mark, there are some excellent woodcuts and line zincs, I believe they're called. Are these going to be in your publications? And also, in Men of Mark, they also go into Negroes from other nations, such as Alexandre Dumas.
Yes.
Is this going to be in yours, or are you going to edit yours, cut these out, so that yours is solely American?
No. We are reproducing. These are facsimile editions. Every picture, every word in the original edition is in our editions. They are exactly as you see it in the old book that you have in front of you.
Well, the book I have in front of me is in excellent condition, and I'm wondering what yours would sell for, new edition.
$39.50.
For Men of Mark.
$39.50, according to the ad.
Well, it seems like a reasonable price for this edition.
What did you purchase? What was your purchase price?
I have not purchased it. This is on loan from an antique dealer.
I see.
That's where most of these books are at this point. They're not available in libraries.
Well, the purchase price, as I said, according to the ad, is $39.50. And it's listed in Group 2 for anybody who might be interested. Mr. Dressler, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr.
King.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, and tonight we're discussing whatever happened to Negro history, and our guest is Mr. William Katz, who is the general editor of the new series called The American Negro, His History and Literature. We'll take our next call from New York. Mr. Galtzman is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Good evening, Mr. Galtzman.
Hi. This is more of a general question, and I think you might like to answer this too, Mr. Shields. It seems that in the New York area, I intrude upon Negro culture. Now, what I mean is that it seems to become very secular and very exclusive to listen to Archie Shepp or Sun Ra, or to go to any of the so-called black movement organization kind of things, even though you may dig the music or the drama that's being performed. Now, do you feel that these books, or just bring it to the general level, do you feel that in New York City, this is happening, and this is true?
Well, first, before Mr. Katz answers, I'd like to understand the question when you say you intrude upon the history.
Well, I am white, and it is not the history, it is the current culture. I feel it's become somewhat secular or somewhat exclusive. And in New York City, as I say, in order to go hear some of the music that I would dig normally, you just can't go ahead and do it. There's a whole cultural, what should we say, climate built around it, which to the white person may feel they may be intruding upon it, even though emotionally or intellectually they dig what is happening.
Well, I don't think I can agree with you. I recall that Mr. Shep was recently presented in concert, I believe, at Carnegie Hall, and 50% of the audience was white, and I don't think that the white participants or the white attendees at that audience felt that they were intruding in any way.
Well, you don't feel that there is some sort of an exclusive or secular kind of Negro culture, which may be doing good for the self-image and so on, but that the white person is, you know, exclusive to, you know, has not been incorporated in because it is, quote, our culture and our thing?
I don't think that the blacks are overtly restricting or limiting the, or excluding rather, the whites. I think what is happening is that there is a development of a new philosophy, and we're right in the kind of a transitory period in this, in that blacks are taking pride in the contributions of black artists and black people, period. And they are merely saying to the white public that for 400 years we've asked you for integration, we asked you for love, we asked you for acceptance, and for 400 years you kind of turned a deaf ear, and we are no longer interested in really in what your opinions are. We're no longer interested in your love. We're no longer interested really in your acceptance, and we're going to work out our own thing. And I think this is where it is. Now, I don't know of any particular group that has ever turned away the interests of whites.
It is not, you know, per se turn away. I will not sell you a ticket. It is, you know, as I say, kind of an exclusive sort of thing, which I feel, in other words, in the New York City schools, for example, and I'm teaching film in Brownsville, and this is a sort of thing where I feel that, you know, if Leroy Jones were to appear in the community center I am working in, I should definitely not be part of this, even though it is, you know, something that we should all cope with and all deal with. But again, it's part of an exclusive kind of culture, which I know it may be just me or maybe the feeling that many whites have. You know, I would just feel that I am intruding on a place where I am not really being invited to. And the same with many of the performances of some of the more avant-garde musicians. I cannot go there and feel comfortable or feel free going there.
Well, I don't think that I can speak for the entire black community, but I think that if you find that there is any one place where white may not be welcome, there are 10 other places where white would be welcomed. And if whites are not welcome in certain areas, I think it is kind of understandable in terms of the fact that there are so many places that blacks are not welcomed. But I don't think that it is an exclusive thing. I think it's a thing now that blacks are saying that we would rather work out our own thing. I think many, many white liberals have realized that in the course of black-white relationships, that most white liberals made decisions for blacks, and they have come to realize that blacks no longer desire white liberals to make the decisions for them. That, again, they're going to work out their own thing.
But when you are dealing in an art form such as jazz, and something which is universal in message on an emotional plateau, can you really be exclusive? And I feel this is happening. Maybe you're not aware of it, but I feel that it is happening in forms of drama and forms of music and so on.
Well, I can think of the Negro Ensemble Company. They're not telling whites not to come down to attend their presentations or their shows, where they have, I think, the Song of the Lusitania Bogie, which is going on right now, and then they've got Daddy Goodness. I can think of the Village Gate, which is an outstanding jazz house in New York City, and they have black as well as whites. I don't think that they exclude whites. And there are many, many others. I don't know of any place in Harlem where there is a particular program or concert being presented for the community that whites are not necessarily excluded. I don't know of any. Maybe you might be excluded from the Black Power Conference. But I don't see where... I don't know of any. Now, of course, I'm not an authority, unfortunately. Mr. Katz, perhaps you have an observation.
I would agree with everything you said. I think that any white person, for example, that wants to find out about the Negro's role in American history will find himself very welcome up at the Schomburg Collection in the midst of Harlem, and will have a chance to look at any of the books there. And I think this is not considered an intrusion in any way.
And speaking of Mr. Jones, he'll be our guest on, I think, next Friday, so you can drop by and call him.
Okay, thanks for that.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. This is Night Caller in New York, area code 212-749-3311. Tonight, Whatever Happened to Black History, our guest is Mr. William Katz, the general editor of the American Negro. His history and literature will return to Mr. Katz and more calls right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest William Greer after station identification.
Next week on Night Call. Monday and Tuesday, we'll have guests and subjects from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Monday, Albert Gore Jr., the 20-year-old son of the senior senator from Tennessee, on Youth and the Democrats. Tuesday, Dr. Reginald Hawkins, the first black man to run for governor in North Carolina in this century, the leader of the movement from that state seeking proper black representation on their delegation on the Democratic Party and the black man. Wednesday, Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum on the Middle East crisis. Thursday, author Perry Thomas on blacks, whites, and Puerto Ricans. And Friday, from the Black Power Conference in Philadelphia, black militant playwright Leroy Jones. Join us each weeknight next week when we'll be covering the Democrats, the Middle East, Puerto Ricans, and Black Power on Night Call.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to William Greer about Black Rage. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to Night Call and welcome once again, as always, to our Night Call listeners who hear us for the second half hour. And we will continue accepting calls as we continue to correspond and converse with our guest, Mr. William Katz. Mr. William Katz, the general editor of the American Negro, his history and his culture. We'll take our first call during the second half hour from Omaha, Nebraska. Mr. Joe Doss is hearing Night Call over KBOM. Good evening, Mr. Doss.
I'd like to have a question for your guest. What gave you the real motive to write this, to publish this,
What is the real motive to publish this collection of books?
And also, will these volumes be available in any city?
Available what?
In any city.
In any city? Yes. Yes, they will be available in any city. They can be ordered by any person or any institution.
All right.
And the motive in publishing them was to make them available to those people who wish to have them, those institutions that wish to have them.
Yes. Well, I just want to know because Omaha isn't that big. And,
I hope some copies get out to Omaha. I'm sure the people in Omaha will enjoy reading them as much as the people elsewhere.
All right. Thank you.
If you'd like some information, you may write the Ono Press, Box R330, Madison Avenue in New York.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Katz, I wonder if it would be wise for us to take a moment out and just relate to our Night Call listeners some of the books that are available, and referring to the ad that we have in Group 2, you have 18 titles, and among them is called On the Eve of Conflict, the Anglo-African Magazine of 1859, and this book sells for $12.50. This is quite an interesting title. Why was this particular book selected?
Well, this is a highly unusual and interesting book. It's a it was a New York-based magazine that began publication in 1859, which was certainly a crisis year. It ended with John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry and his execution. And this magazine had on its staff some of the leading Negro intellectuals of the day, black nationalists, poets, philosophers, and so on. And it has a their writings, it has sociological reports, it even has a large part of a novel, one of the first novels by a Negro in the United States, all this before the Civil War, as well as news items from the South, from the North, criticism of the New York City school system, for example, for segregating and leaving out their Negro youngsters. And it's quite an item. It was one of the ones that I used quite extensively when I was doing my original research, and that's how I knew of it.
Well, this book also includes the original Confessions of Nat Turner?
Yes, that's one of the items reprinted in the December issue, I believe, is the original Confessions of Nat Turner.
Well, that poses quite an interesting question. Inasmuch as there have been, I understand, 10 writers who reject the Mr. William Styron's interpretation of the Confessions of Nat Turner. What are your observations?
What are my observations?
Right.
Well, that is a big question, a highly controversial one. I have my own feelings about it. I, first of all, have some doubts about the confessions themselves. They were made in prison to a white man who was a racist, and by the time they were published, Nat Turner was dead and could not deny what was printed. And some of the material in it, I have doubt whether anybody would say. I also have some questions, just as the 10 black writers did, about Mr. Styron's interpretation of some of the events. I thought it was particularly unfortunate that he chose, in the face of no historical evidence, to make Nat Turner a black man lusting after a white woman, when in reality Turner was married to a black woman. And I felt there were serious errors such as this that made the work not one that should have gotten the attention it has gotten. I'm not criticizing its literary merit. That's another question. But I think from a historical point of view, he took quite a few liberties.
Well, considering that black history has now becoming somewhat of a vogue, are we not as a people, or not as a public, to become a victim of accepting every book that comes out pertaining to black history as valid? Is it not possible that we may suffer from believing that some of the material which is valid is actually invalid?
Yes, I think that's a possibility. I think all of the material must be evaluated. I've said this many times, especially before school groups that are desperately trying to fill in their library stocks and buy supplementary text, that they must examine the material they get. Not all of it is good. Some of it has been altered. Some of it has been made into myth, and so on. I don't think that there is a general effort to distort the Negro's role and make it more positive than it is. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that some of the material is not always in good taste and is not always authentic and based on historical research.
Mr. Katz, we'll take our next call from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mr. Munford is hearing Night Call over WHAT. Good evening, Mr. Munford.
Good evening, Dale. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Fine. My question was pertaining to jazz, mainly. I'd like to know, what can we do to hear more jazz in Philadelphia? You know, because jazz is perhaps the only true American culture that was started by Negroes, and in Philadelphia today, there's no jazz at all.
Well, you're calling from a station that has long been known as one of the leading jazz stations in America, WHAT.
Well, since it's changed, you know, it's a pop station now.
Well, my suggestion would be that you and all of the jazz fans, who we know there are a great many in Philadelphia, because at the time that I was broadcasting from Philadelphia, you supported me beautifully, get together, write to the station owner, write to the station manager, and tell him of your desires, and I think you possibly might get a change.
All right, and I have another question. This series of books, will they include the later people that have done something to help Negro history, such as Malcolm X and people such as them?
If I may answer that, these books are reprints of famous classics. And the books of Malcolm X are about Malcolm X and by Malcolm X are very much in evidence, and they're not out of print by any means. If they go out of print, we'd be tickled to reprint them. But we are focusing on those books that have been out of print, some of them for more than 100 years. And books on the current scene can be generally found in bookstores or ordered from publishers.
I would assume, Mr. Munford, that inasmuch as most of the classic books about Negro history have been absent and have not been available to the general public, that The Ono Press and the New York Times have tried to make these books available. For instance, there's A Free Negro Family, which was first published in 1932, and there's The Negro Population in the United States, 1790 to 1915. And The Negro at Work by George Edmund Haynes, which was published in 1912. And with all due respect to Malcolm X and other of the very fine leaders in this particular history, before you can really understand what Malcolm X was saying, I think we've got to go back a few years to find out what the early foundation was.
I think we'll find some Malcolm X's back in the past that nobody knew about, like
right.
Martin R. Delaney.
Well, around what price range will the majority of the books be priced?
The books are priced from as low as $2.50 to as high as I have my price list here, to $39.50.
And everything else is in between there.
Right. $7 and $30, $6.50, $9, $12, $4.50, and I don't think they're too high.
Well, how soon will it be in the bookstores?
August 26th, next Monday.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much
thank
for calling,
you.
Sir. This is Night Call in New York. Whatever happened to black history is our discussion tonight, and our guest is Mr. William Katz, the general editor of The American Negro, his history and his literature. And we'll take our next call from Kansas City. Miss Stigers is hearing Night Call over KPRS-FM. Good evening, Miss Stigers.
Yes, I'd like to comment on what the young man said about, he sounded like he was hurt because he was left out of, the Negro movement and stuff. What was that he was left out of?
He was left out of what, ma'am?
He was left out of the Negro, when he goes to the places to hear jazz and stuff. He said he felt left out or something.
Oh, this was a white teacher who felt that he had gone to some affairs where there was black music, and he felt that he was not welcomed. I think basically this is what he was saying. He felt that he was intruding upon the blacks.
Oh, I see. Well, I just wanted to comment and say that really it's a lot what you said. He hasn't, well, I think that not him, but the way he thinks, it's so distorted because we've been left out for so very long. And I think that it's just kind of a turnabout, you know. Now it's his turn to feel left out. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, when you've been in so long and finally you're left out, you've got to feel that kind of way.
Well, I guess so.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Our next guest, Miss Shahib, is hearing Night Call over WRVR-FM, and she's hearing Night Call in Brooklyn, New York. Good evening, Miss Shahib.
How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. I'd like to direct my question to Mr. Katz.
Yes.
Sir, I was wondering, you doing all your research and thing, I wonder if you've ever encountered anyone who asks you a question, why we never learned it, or why it was never put in the school books?
Yes, I've been asked that question many times, very pointedly, and most pointedly, I would say, by my own students, black and white, in school. I'm a teacher of some 15 years, and it's been a difficult question to answer because it seems so ridiculous. This has long been a part of American history, and it's just a crime that it's been left out.
Mr. Shields, what would you say?
Excuse me?
I come from a family that has long been involved with black history. When I was a kid, I knew a little bit about Frederick Douglass. I knew something about Mr. Crispus Attucks. I knew something about slave revolts in America, so it's not entirely new to me, but I think there is a relationship that I have in terms with Mr. Katz when we talk about the home. If the parents decide to take it upon themselves to do some things. I didn't feel badly because I didn't learn black history in school, and I didn't condemn the schools for it because my father, we came from a very poor, humble circumstances, and I knew there. Each time I went shopping with him in the various areas, he always took a moment out to stop by a bookstore. I used to get kind of angry, because he wasn't buying me all the toys I wanted. But he would take time out to buy a book or two. And if it starts in the home, and I think right now they have made 45 books available to us, and if each black family started with buying a $2.50 book, and I'm not particularly interested in the whites at this point now, not that I'm anti-white, but I'm thinking in terms of the black people, because all black people are certainly aware of white history, but if each black family would invest $2.50 in a book, or maybe $7.50 in a book, and keep it in the home where where their kids could begin reading about, we wouldn't have to worry about too much about what's not being done in the schools. I don't know if that answers you.
the question comes to, thought comes to mind that we are Americans and we know the Indians' history, we know the Italians, we know everybody's history as far as what they did to better than, you know, we know their history in general, but we don't know ours, and we are also Americans.
Well, I don't think that, you know, when you're talking to people over 60 stations, you have to kind of be careful, I suppose. But I suppose if I'm allowed any kind of freedom at all, I am one black man who I don't believe in copping out. I am well aware of the racist feeling in America. I'm well aware of the fact that I'm not wanted in many places. I'm well aware of the many disadvantages. But I can't concern myself with that. I think I've said on the program time and time again that in any ghetto, there is no turnstile. There isn't a ticket taker up there that says that only two blacks are going to be permitted to go downtown to work. I think if man believes a little bit in himself, if man has any kind of faith in himself and aware of the fact that he may not get all of the things that he would like, he'll get some of them if he believes in himself. And I think this is what more black people have to do. I think we're going to sit back and wait. And I don't want this to sound like I'm tarming in any way. You know, somebody can easily say that, well, Del Shields, you're doing Night Call and things are made. Things aren't made for me. I'm thankful for the privilege. But at the same time, I think that if more blacks would take time out away from the television set, we take time out from some of the useless demonstrations that are going on, if we take time out from attempting to protest many things that really need no protesting and start doing some things within the home. And there's nothing at all that has to do with buying a book and telling a kid, well, look, hey, listen, forget the cowboy thing, you know, forget Peyton Place, but let's talk about the Christmas Attucks, or let's talk about Frederick Douglass, or let's talk about Dr. Du Bois, let's talk about some of the other people who have been great leaders in this country. I think you'll find a tremendous amount of inspiration. I think you might find some changes.
Well, Miss, I agree with you. At this point, we have to say that after so many years of waiting, we do have to say that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Katz, as we continue to discuss whatever happened to black history right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest William Katz after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, black psychiatrist William Greer. He says white racism pushes blacks to the brink of madness. Greer says white racism forces black Americans to lead a life of cultural paranoia that often pushes him over the brink into true paranoid schizophrenia. Greer says it's because a black person has to develop a suspiciousness and a defensive posture just to survive in America today. And Greer also says this leads black Americans to develop what he calls a healthy adaptive paranoia, which pushes him close to the mental illness. Greer has just written a book called Black Rage, which argues that the rage of black men is beginning to break through a complex set of psychic defenses erected in the time of slavery, which have changed very little since. Black psychiatrist William Greer on the whys and wherefores of black rage, tomorrow night on Night Call. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to William Katz about whatever happened to black history. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. William Katz, and I think this time we'll go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Mr. Forey is hearing Night Call over WTLC. Mr. Forey?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, I had two questions, and number one was, are they going to have a special course in black history in most schools?
If you're addressing that to me, I can
yes.
I can answer it on just very, very partial information. I think some schools are planning courses like this. I could not tell you how many. Probably more so on the college level than on the high school, junior high school, or elementary school level. I think more schools, though, in the public school level are planning to introduce materials into the ongoing courses in American history, materials that have to do with the Negro's contribution.
I think also, sir, that if more parents would make it a point to ask the schools or to petition the schools for black history, And then after they petition the schools for black history, do a little reading on their own, I think we might be able to get it.
All right.
Thank you for calling, sir.
I have one more question.
Oh, go right ahead.
Will this be taught as a separate course, or will it be taught interwoven?
Well, I don't know how it will be taught. It will depend on the institution. I feel that the best way to teach it, though, if I may give that advice, is that it should be taught in a public school level as integrated history and not as something separate. And it should not be an elective course. It should be the required course in American history.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir. And we'll stay in Indianapolis, as this time we'll hear from Mr. Chambers, who's here in Night Call over WTLC. Good evening, Mr. Chambers.
Good evening, Brother Shue.
How are you, sir?
Fine, you?
Fine, thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Katz.
Good evening.
My question revolves around, well, we're trying to discuss black history, whatever happened to it in America. Well, the school system here, well, the public school and high school that I attended, it was very limited as to what we were taught about, you know, I guess you would say black patriots.
Yes.
We were taught about Crispus Attucks somewhat. Well, I was, I guess you would say, got a pretty fair initiative. You know, I look for things myself. But the question is, well, when you discuss history, well, I think you're discussing the unconditional and factual relation of, you know, events that govern man's life. I think that, well, they taught me about, you know, General Custer and guys, you know, who were, you know, I guess you would say men who conquered the land. Now, I was wondering if when they teach these black history courses, if they're going to teach about Marcus Garvey and Nat Turner and Denmark Vesey, or, you know, any of the guys who were, I guess you would say, violently opposed to the Western power structure, because when we were in school, we were only taught about the so-called, or who could be considered, Toms and, you know,
yes,
monkeys, you know, and I was wondering if they would teach about the more or less militant black of that day and age, you know, because, well, it was limited in my, you know, like I said, in my school, the schools I attended. I mean, I went to quite a few schools in Indianapolis. I mean, more than eight, you know. I was a problem student. And, you know, it's pretty interesting when you sit down like I did and discover for yourself, you know, wow, you mean I had a guy, here's a guy, Denmark Vesey or Toussaint Louverture, a guy like this who was violently opposed. You know, if I'm going to learn about something, I don't want to just learn about the mediocrity of the thing. I want to learn about it in its entirety, you know, about, like I said, Denmark Vesey,
yes,
Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, you know, teach me black history in
right
depth, and, you know, not just this surface thing. I mean, you weren't lax in teaching me about white history. I mean, you know, you taught me, like I said, about,
well,
you know, guys.
Well, Mr. Chambers, I think that it will first depend upon the interests of the school officials who will initiate the course. This is number one.
Yes, I agree.
And secondly, I think, again, it depends upon the people. There are millets. Let's, you know, face reality. There will be,
well,
many schools.
The problem we face in Indianapolis, because for years now, the teachers in the public school systems have been screaming, you know, well, hey, give us more black history, you know, and everyone seems to turn their head, you know. I mean, you have quite a few races here in Indianapolis. I mean, a bunch.
Well, for the first time, there is a 45-volume set that is available. And this set, which will be published next Monday, right, the 26th, has just about, I think, the most complete set of books on Negro history that includes not only should we call it, say, the radicals, or the early, I'm saying radicals, but the early pioneers and those who fought the system in early years before it became fashionable. And now if the school system in Indianapolis states that they don't have it available, then I think it's that you should tell them about the American Negro, his history and literature, which is available.
Yes, well, they've been made aware of, you know, I guess you would say, the material that is available. But like I said, I mean, well, they've been screaming for years for it here, you know, and everyone seems to turn their head, or, you know.
Well, I don't want to cut across you, but I don't think we have to talk about what went on yesterday. Let's talk about today. As of August 26th, there will be an available library.
Well, what I'm really interested in, will it not only be instituted, say, in my alma mater, Crispus Attucks, but also in, you know, schools, I guess you would say, that are predominantly white, you know, like Arlington, you know, or any of the other schools, you know, I mean.
Could I answer that?
Certainly, Mr. Katz.
Yeah, I would hope that this set would find its place into schools that are all white as well as schools that are all black.
Yeah.
And I think this is very important. I think as much it's basically an academic question whether Negroes need this more than whites. I think both need it very badly, and I agree with the gentleman who said that you also need to know about the radicals, because they made history too. Sam Adams was not a conservative, and we hear a lot about him in American history.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, what if, say, maybe Christmas addicts would accept? I mean, well, how could you go about ensuring that not only would addicts receive it, but also, well, Shortridge is almost black now, but Washington Woods almost black too, well, Wood and all the other predominantly white schools, how could we ensure Wood?
Well, I think it's hard to say how to ensure it. I think...
Well, how can we go about maybe impressing upon their mind that it's a necessity that they learn not only about themselves, but of others also?
Oh, I would think a phone call.
I think
that would be a first step to the various schools and find out if they have these kinds of materials on the Negro.
I see.
And press upon them the importance that everybody learn this history. I would say to stress the fact that this is a part of American history. It's not a matter of doing a favor for Negroes. It's a matter of completing the picture of American history.
Right.
I would like to also add, sir, black people generally are very club conscious and very organization conscious, and maybe you need to start or begin in Indianapolis a black history club and let 10 or 20 people get together and purchase the books and sit around and read to each other and learn a little bit about it and pass it on to the people.
Well, we have a couple of beautiful organizations here in the Black Radical Action Project and the College Room. I mean, they're doing a real sweet job. I mean, they're showing films and having discussions. As a matter of fact, they're having one tomorrow, various.
Well, tell them about the new books that will be available on August 26th.
That's a 45 volume.
Right. 45, sir.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. Mr. Katz, we have just about a minute and 30 seconds, and we'd like to offer you that opportunity to tell us about whether or not you feel that these volumes of the American Negro, his history and literature, will help to erase some of the racist attitudes in America, whether you feel that these books will actually add to the pride of the black people, or whether you feel that it will help in any way to make America a better place.
Yes, I think it'll do all of these things. I think it will do these things in time. I think we have to attack this racial crisis that we are in with every weapon that we can find, and certainly every intellectual weapon. And I think that this set of books provides an awful lot of intellectual weaponry for clarifying the issues and for understanding the background. I think that they're used, to return to this point for a moment, by white people is as important as they're used by black people. I think part of the reason we are in this crisis is because we swept a lot of this history under the rug and we did not look at it, we did not face it. And to the extent that we've done that, those who don't study history are doomed to repeat its errors. And that seems to be where we are now. And I would say that the wide circulation of the Arno Press series, the wide circulation of Eyewitness, Negro and American History, the wide circulation of other books that deal with the problem, with the progress that Negroes made despite tremendous obstacles, very important material for white and black.
Mr. Katz, thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
Thank
this
you.
Is Delta's in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, psychiatrist William Greer on the whys and wherefores of Black Rage, the title of his new book. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.